Well, thank you. Thanks for giving us a view of Senegal. So a couple things come to my mind. Do you have your mics? Do you have them on? Did you turn them on there? Dave taught you how
Dave
to do that?
Me how
okay,
to do
good.
It.
Aaron, do you have yours
working?
On? Yours on?
Gordon, my
okay,
working?
Then I'm gonna work around here. You guys can respond as you feel led. So I'm looking at a video like that, and I'm thinking, what distinguishes in your mind this trip from a vacation trip? How is this different?
Well, number one, we got up really early and we stayed up really late.
Okay, so you got up really early. Really?
No, we spent most of our time in the same one place.
Okay.
Because we arrived on Sunday, but Monday through Friday we were at Dakar Academy. And yes, there was time for us to do things in the evening, but we spent most of our day in Dakar. We spent a lot of our downtime preparing for the next day. And while we were at Dakar Academy during the day, we were in service. Mm-hmm. And normally when you go on vacation, it's about what you can receive and what you can take in and what you can get from the destination that you've gone to.
Yeah.
And for us, it was, what could we pour out? For me, that's what
yeah.
it was about, what we could leave there and what we could pour out and how we could get out of our own way and let God dump awesomeness on Dakar.
Dump awesomeness on Dakar.
Awesomeness. Yep.
Does that pretty much capture it, you think? Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah. Noah and I stayed in a separate apartment. So the girls got to stay with the Martins. Noah and I, at the end of the night, we'd end up going to a different apartment that was about probably 7 blocks, 8 blocks away from the Martins and about 5 blocks away from the Dakar Academy. And so in the evenings, we'd do the same thing. Noah and I would sit down and we would kind of discuss the day, how it went. And then on top of it, we would also discuss, for instance, one evening, we had one gal, her name was Sophie, who was right on the verge of being too old for these group of kids. She's just right on that edge of being too old for VBS, not quite old enough to be one of the helpers. But at the same time, so Noah and I would sit there and we talked about her one evening of just, what can we do to get her more involved with a little bit more responsibility so that she feels like she's actually contributing to the group rather than, you know, being part of the little kids stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so every night, every evening was one of kind of a rehash of the day and what can we do different or what's coming up or, you know, even some of the videos, the kid videos and stuff is like, okay, that's a really simple lesson. How do we extend that out for 20 minutes? Because
uh-huh.
we've got to keep these kids entertained. We had them on a schedule of every half hour we would rotate them through different stations. And it's like, so you got to keep these kids' attention for 30 minutes and keep them engaged. And some of the lessons were, how do we stretch that one out? And so
yeah.
there wasn't, overall, there just wasn't a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm. So part of what distinguishes it is this outflowing. So how do you prepare? How do you know that outflowing is from the Spirit of God? I mean, you know, like we're there and we're trying to be empowered by God. How did you see God empowering you through that time?
I'd like to speak to that one. With regard to God empowering us during that time, I'm going to talk about moving forward, because sometimes it's not always in the moment where you're seeing the power of God. And it is in the moment where you're seeing the power of God. But the trajectory that moves forward is also pretty amazing. So we knew that we were filled with the Holy Spirit. Before we went to Senegal, many of us came and watched the VBS. We spent a whole week watching VBS here at Grace. The people from VBS offered up their materials, their expertise. We all met personally with the leaders of our different situations. And then we took a lot of materials over to Dakar. Noah came up with an incredible structured notebook, and Aaron also came up with a schematic that we could follow. And when the people at the academy saw what we had done, they were just amazed. They were amazed at our organization. They were amazed at the amount of time. They were amazed at the structure with which all of us from Grace donated on the website and how it all came together to be presented to them. Okay, that's one piece. The next piece is when we were getting ready to leave, we made piles of our different materials. One of the piles was the VBS. When we left, Kathy Martin, who's connected with the school, said the very first thing to go was the VBS curriculum and materials. And that went to another church who is going to run the VBS, and after they're done running the VBS, they were sending it off to another church. So there's this idea of, this is the Holy Spirit. You drop the pebble in the pond, and you get these concentric circles that become bigger, bigger, and bigger. And that's not all, folks. So the next thing that happened was every third Sunday of the month, there is a group that comes together that prays for Dakar. These are people from all over our country and all over the world that come onto this website and pray for this Zoom and pray for Dakar. And one of the things that came up in that prayer session was the discussion of what Grace Church created, Grace's ability to bring, God's love and God's word beyond the walls of their church. And we now have a template moving forward for any of you missionaries out there and churches out there that would like to reproduce the same thing. Hmm. So that exponential growth, I see the Holy Spirit in that exponential growth of structure, again, going back to the notion of passion and possibility.
Yeah, you see, it sounds like you see the Holy Spirit at work in this, in that you're recognizing that He had a plan and He has a purpose for this beyond what you experienced. You experienced something right there in the moment. But as you watch this thing unfold, you can see, oh no, this is gonna go over to this church and that church, and this can be used for this and this, all of which you didn't know in advance. And what a powerful thing it is to have the Spirit, to see the Spirit at work in that way.
Before I was even born, God knew I was going to Dakar.
Amen.
And what I was going to say was we spent a substantial amount of time preparing before we went. For months we were meeting, and when we weren't meeting, we were texting, and when we weren't texting, we were emailing and sharing files and shared drives, and we put a ton of time into getting ready. But then when we were there, every single one of us, and I watched everybody else do it, and I felt it in myself when it was happening, dropped our well-laid plans in favor of whatever we were led to do in the moment, and very frequently it had nothing to do with what we planned to do, because in that moment we were just called to do something else. And as an observer, there was one day that Aaron played this game with the kids about talents, and I literally cried watching him play this game with these kids, because I was watching the Holy Spirit in these kids, and I was watching Aaron, and I knew that it had nothing to do with what we were supposed to be doing, but it was so wonderful. And for 20 minutes I just sat there, like, I had to close my mouth, because it was just so amazing, and it was completely spontaneous, and that didn't come from us.
What a neat thing to recognize that this serving of God includes both our preparation but also this openness to allowing Him to mold and shape in the moment too. So not only you're participating in something that's far bigger than you, but in the moment, even with all the prep and even with the plan and even the notebook and all the stuff that went into this, you still had to maintain that spirit of flexibility that it would allow the spirit to speak to you and move. Now, you had a challenge along the way. You got sick, didn't you, Aaron, at one point? So how did that play itself out as you were trying to do what God called you to do?
Yeah, so we had one kid, Tuesday morning, shows up, and about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, he throws up and goes home after running a kid into a wall. And about 1:30 Thursday morning, or Wednesday, Wednesday morning, I woke up with the chills. Still went there, but by the time 2:30 rolled around and the VBS was pretty much over, because each afternoon, once the VBS was over, we had a lot of other plans to go out with the Martins and such. But I told them, I've got to go home. I've got to go back to the apartment. I went back and just crashed. And these guys did not know if I was going to be awake on Thursday morning, because I was just out. And so... they took that whole afternoon while they were out going and praying at the monument and everything else. They took that whole afternoon to figure out, okay, what are we going to do if Aaron doesn't show up? And they came up with a whole plan and then were excited to see me show up Thursday morning. About 3:30 in the morning, Thursday morning, I woke up. It's 85, 95 degrees in the middle of the night. It's 85 to 90% humidity. And I'm in my bed with two blankets and a sweatshirt on, just shivering. And then I woke up just puddles of sweat. So it was a nice 24-hour flu. But Noah was prepared, already prepared to take over the games. And they had rerouted the schedule so that they could mix up the kid vid and everything else. And so that for that Thursday, Noah and I agreed. I just wasn't in the, most of the games were outside, and I was just not physically capable of being outside that long. And so Noah did the games, and I did the kid vid. And we switched things around just a little bit, and he enjoyed it.
It's kind of, again, a reminder to me, you know, that whenever we serve the Lord, whether we're in Senegal or here, we always serve in community. And I think it's kind of neat that you have the community around you that when you had that downtime, everybody kind of fills in the gaps and continues to carry on that mission. It's one of the glorious things about being a community as a church, is that it's not all dependent, first of all, it's all empowered by the Spirit of God, but it's not all dependent on us. We're working together, bringing our gifts and talents to the table to see the mission accomplished, to be taking grace beyond the walls, and to see the gospel advanced in Senegal. And you were a microcosm of that community as you got there, which is pretty cool. Well, we're really limited for time, but I two real quick things. One, would you go back?
Absolutely.
Would you go back, you think? And having gone and come back, are you different? Are you different? And real quick, how are you different? Can you?
For me, I can tell you that although I had known that I was receiving God's grace at other moments in my life, that awareness wasn't always in the moment. And I had several tangible experiences of feeling that and it lasting for more than a second and having an awareness that it was happening in that moment. And that is life-changing.
Hmm. So having that experience of just God in the now, yeah. right now.
Like when crazy things come out of four-year-olds' mouths about scripture, like that was just awesome.
Anything? Any other comments? How are you different? No?
Yeah, Noah, come on, dude.
You think you're different? How so?
I guess the biggest difference that I've seen is, like, so this was my first time, on a large scale with kids, and I'm already at the point where I'm talking to Bill Martin about getting a job over there. So,
okay.
I'm at that point where I'm definitely doing this again and possibly making it long term. So,
okay. So God is stirring something in you that says this may be where He wants you to serve. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Anyone else? How are you different?
I have a much deeper sense of what mission family goes through in order to serve, what their needs are, what their what it takes out of themselves as individuals and as a family to make the commitment to spend your life serving God in such a deep and sacrificial way. They don't see it as a sacrifice, but it is such a deep and sacrificial way that you give, and such gratitude for those who give at our church to make everything happen here in our church and community, and just gratitude that I can drink water out of the tap. Mm-hmm. You know, just such simple, it's just such a sense of contentment and gratitude in my life for what I have in the country that I'm a part of, regardless of what's happening out there. I'm so grateful for the country I belong to and the ease of life that we have here. And with that ease of life, I have extra potential to give to others.
Amen. Amen. To whom much is given, much is expected, the word says. We're given our talents and our gifts not to hoard them, not to hold fast to them, but rather to pour them out on a world that desperately needs to know Jesus. And that amplification of gratitude is life-changing, I can imagine. Can I give you a last word?
So for me, a lot of the trip was more along the lines of confirmation of what I'd already, a lot of what I'd already known, but it's really fun to watch God work. You know, like I said in the video, like Kristen said about the game, all of this, all of those opportunities to simply watch God work. We showed up and we did our job. We were asked to come and do a job. And like Kristen said and Marty said, we made a book and we put each of the kids, we were asking for weeks to get a list of the kids. So we knew, on one end, it's the practical side of knowing how many kids we had to handle for the week. But the other end was, is we put a kid on each day leading up to our trip. Before we even headed out, we had a kid for each day, and we prayed for each one of those names. And I mean, even to the point where it was disappointing, the day before we got there, we were told, hey, these kids aren't going to be there, and we might have some extra kids. And it's like, Beckett's not going to be there? We hadn't even met Beckett yet, but it's like, oh, that sucks. This you know, because we had prayed for this kid. I had gotten attached to these kids' names. I was anticipating getting to see them, and then having to let go of someone was, to me, was moving in that we had already connected and we were already invested in these kids' lives. And then to show up and Beckett made it, and he's the one that got us all sick. So, but
Beckett's flu.
But to get to see God working in the background. So, you know, you ask the question of how did God and the Holy Spirit work in us? We showed up and did our job. That's the simple end. We were asked to go do a job. But the environment that we created allowed the Lord to work in the background of these teenage helpers. And we were praying. We spent the whole time leading up to it praying for Jonathan and David relationships. That we were creating an environment that, who knows, maybe in 10 years, we've got the next DC Talk sitting right there in the room. That we've got the next Audio Adrenaline. We don't know who these kids are. We don't know what the Lord's going to do with them. It's not our job to figure that one out. It's our job to create an environment where these kids become bonded.
Yeah.
And 10 years from now, they're impacting the world far greater than we ever could. And who knows what's happening with the parents? The fact that they don't have to worry about their kids. They were able to sit at lunchtime and spend time with each other. And who knows what connections and what kind of networking happened amongst those teachers that this next year and the next 10 years are going to be phenomenal simply because we showed up and did our job. And so to see God work in the background of all of that, because we said yes. That to me was just that confirmation of all we've got to do is what God asks us to do and let him do the job behind us.
Amen. Just obey in the moment. Obey in the moment and let God work through that. What an interesting thing, you know, to see God affirming that he's present for you and God amplifying in you that sense of gratitude, and God at the same time helping you to change course a little bit, and God confirming for you that a truth that you already knew but got to see again. That's pretty remarkable that God can take one event and use it differently in every person's life, all to his glory and praise. And everyone here at Grace was a part of this trip, because those who prayed were a part of this trip. Those who give to the offering, you gave to this trip. Those who delivered things to take on this, you were all part of that trip. And I trust that as we continue to invest ourselves in this outgoing to Senegal, because we are going again, it looks like we're going to be going again in March. I pray that we will be a church that will continue to be affected positively by these trips as people come back inspired and more in love with Jesus than when they left. So let's end there. Let me offer a quick word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this time, as limited as it is. I thank you for the evidence that you've given us that you are present. Thank you that you moved through your Spirit in this team. And Father God, I look forward to seeing how you're going to continue to work in them in the trajectory that they have already established and that you're working at in them. And I pray, Father God, that as a church family, we will continue to invest ourselves in the ministry of Senegal, that we would see many come to new life in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for Bill and Kathy and their ministry there that allowed this opportunity, and we continue to just give you praise and glory and adoration because you are worthy of it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job, guys. Thanks for sharing.